वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नाष्टाप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भवतु सेवया भगवती तमाश्रिते भक्ति नमस्ते। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम 10 टू 11 चैप्टर 10 वर्स 5 एंड थैंक यू प्राण गोविंद प्रभु फॉर रिमाइंडिंग अस अगेन द समरी ऑफ दिस चैप्टर। सो Text 5. Yamana Bhikshanam Seveta
Yamana Bhikshanam Seveta
Niyaman Matvara Kvachit
Niyaman Matvara Kvachit
Mana Vidyam Gurum Shantam
Mana Vidyam Gurum Shantam
Upasita Mad Atmakam
Upasita Mad Atmakam
Yamana Bhikshanam
Seveta Yamana Bhikshanam Seveta
Niyaman Matvara Kvachit
Niyaman Matvara Kvachit
Mana Vidyam Gurum Shantam
Mana Vidyam Gurum Shantam
Upasita Mad Atmakam
Upasita Mad Atmakam
Christian
Yamana Bhikshanam Seveta
Yamana Bhikshanam Seveta
Niyaman
Matvara Kvachit
Mana
Vidyam Gurum Shantam
Upasita Mad Atmakam
Yamana Bhikshanam Seveta
Yamana Bhikshanam Seveta
Purport by disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One who has accepted me as the supreme goal of life should strictly observe the scriptural injunctions forbidding sinful activities, and as far as possible should execute the injunctions prescribing minor regulative duties such as cleanliness. Ultimately, however, one should approach a bona fide spiritual master who is full in knowledge of me as I am, who is peaceful, and who by spiritual elevation is not different from me. Thank you. Let's repeat. One who has accepted me
as
the supreme goal of life
should strictly observe the scriptural injunctions
forbidding sinful activities. And as far as possible,
should execute the injunctions
prescribing minor regulative duties,
such as cleanliness.
Ultimately, however,
one should approach a bona fide spiritual master who is full in knowledge of me as I am,
who is peaceful,
and who by spiritual elevation is not different from me. Purport. The word Yaman refers to major regulative injunctions necessary for preserving one's purity. In the Krishna consciousness movement, all bona fide members must give up eating meat, fish and eggs, and they must also avoid intoxication, gambling and illicit sex. The word abhigyam indicates that one cannot at any time perform such forbidden activities, even in difficult circumstances. The word niyaman refers to less obligatory injunctions such as bathing 3 times daily. In certain difficult situations, one may not bathe 3 times daily, yet may still maintain one's spiritual position. How many of us bathe 3 times daily? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but it is a minor injunction. But if one engages in sinful forbidden activities, even in difficult circumstances, there undoubtedly will be a spiritual fall down. Ultimately, as explained in Upadeshamrita, mere adherence to rules and regulations cannot give one spiritual perfection. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master who is mad abhigyam, or in full knowledge of the personal form of Godhead. The word mat, me, negates the possibility of a bona fide spiritual master having an impersonal conception of the absolute truth. Furthermore, the guru must be in complete control of his senses. Therefore, he is called shanta or peaceful. Because of being completely surrendered to the mission of the Lord, such a spiritual master is mad atmakam, or non-different from the personality of Godhead. Jai. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurumulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Yaman Abhikshanam Seveta Niyaman Mat Parakvachit Mad Abhigyam Guru Shantam Upasita Mad Atmakam. So in this chapter, chapter 10, the thread of this chapter is that Krishna is instructing, as we know, Krishna is instructing Uddhava, and many of the verses are starting out by Krishna says, one who has taken shelter of me, or one who has taken shelter of Krishna should. So in the first verse he says, they should live without personal desire. And then elaborated in the next 2 verses, and in the 4th verse he says, so one who has taken shelter of me should give up activities based on sense gratification, which was yesterday's verse, and that they should be guided by regulative principles for advancement. And then today he's saying that they should strictly observe scriptural injunctions, which is yam, niyam, and then approach, of course, finally approach a guru. So when we think of yam, niyam, we think of the Ashtanga Yoga, the eightfold yoga process, which is many different places Prabhupada has mentioned in his purports, yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, etc. But Krishna is saying that if one has accepted him as a supreme goal of life, we need to strictly observe these yamas and niyamas. And as we go along, we'll see that in different places in his purport, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned these prohibitions, mentioned the niyams which you should be observing. And so I want to just go to Nectar of Instruction in verse 3. Srila Prabhupada says that these, of course, we know the 4 prohibitions or the 4 yamas for our Krishna conscious movement, which is mentioned in the purport: no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. So Prabhupada says one should not be idle but be very enthusiastic about executing these regulative principles. And he said, if we neglect these regulative principles, they will destroy our devotional service. Destroy is a very powerful word. And Krishna says it's a sinful activity, and these words, we don't really take them seriously. When we say sinful activity, we think somebody else is committing sinful activities, we are not committing sinful activities. But Krishna is saying that if you are not if you don't observe these, and Prabhupada says that we are not very enthusiastic, they will destroy our creeper actually, they destroy our creeper of devotion. If we are kind of lax here, a little bit lax there, and like for example, I think most of our devotees who have actually taken up Krishna consciousness very seriously will definitely not eat meat, fish or eggs, and maybe intoxication, but you will say, well, how about tea and coffee? So there are like small things which kind of come in, and gambling, I mean, it's kind of very, very gray area. I've heard of devotees saying that when you invest in the stock market, that's gambling. And so it's very, very subtle, because sometimes you're working, you're in the workplace, and then they invest your part of your salary in some kind of 503k, some 501. So some, they invest in some kind of fund, mutual fund, or so they are investing your money, but some that is maybe out of your hand. But if somebody's actively pursuing stock market, then you might want to think, is it actually gambling or not? So anyway, this is just like a sidetrack. But Prabhupada says that we should be very enthusiastic, and if we become slack in following any of them, our progress will be certainly checked. So three are the four yamas, but then there are also very many positive things which are there, or positive regulative principles which we call niyama. And one of them which is mentioned here is cleanliness. And actually further up in the same canto, Krishna actually says that cleanliness actually means not only like rinsing your skin off with water, but also giving up material attachments. That is cleanliness. That we, because of course that's one of the offenses to the holy name, that we maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So that is also, that's cleanliness, that you give up those material attachments. And of course, chanting of 16 rounds on our beads, that is the other niyam which we follow in the Krishna consciousness movement. So what are the other niyams which we are following or supposed to follow? Can you just kind of go along?
Attending the temple
programs. And Srila Prabhupada was very, he was kind of insistent that we need to attend the temple programs. And he actually used to say that we should not really have deities when we are living close by to the temple, because the deities are here and you come and attend the morning programs. And if we do have deities, we have a simple program of offering them water, offering them bhoga, and so attending morning programs. Madam Madhumati, you had?
I was getting up early in the morning.
Getting up early in the morning? Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes you mentioned
that Shravanam, Kirtanam already. Yes. So chanting the japa and then Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So reading scriptures and listening, that is Shastra study. And yes, Prabhu.
You should not focus the purpose of all this rules regulation. You may miss the main point. Because when they start judging, you may come to Mangalarti, I came to Mangalarti, but I forgot the purpose of the whole program. I'm not taking the hour of what you are explaining, but the purpose of our entire process and why we do things we do should be very much focused. Otherwise, tendency to commit offenses all over here.
Of course, because if we commit offenses, then we are actually not actually following the scriptural rules and regulations. And actually, something about judging, very important you brought up about judging, because it's so easy to judge. As we enter the temple room, we judge how somebody is offering obeisances, how they do not offer obeisances if they left the temple room. So they actually are very harmful to our devotional creeper when we are judging. And a long time ago, my spiritual master actually, I was having a darshan with him, and he said something about, who made you judge? Huh? So who made you judge? When we actually think about that, then we should take ourselves away from that position, because we are here as servants. And actually, I am seeing more and more, like, you know, sometimes say I'm here, which is not very often, trying to be more often to Mangal Arati, and I'm late. But I used to see somebody who came at 4:50. Like, wow, they're coming so late. But think of, when I actually think about it, they woke up at maybe 4 o'clock. That is so early. They woke up at 4 o'clock and they took a shower, they came to the temple. Who am I to say, oh my God, they are late? Because there is so much austerity, so much dedication that this devotee has. Who am I to judge where or why they woke up late? Or they are here. So everybody who I see anywhere at the temple, I felt, wow, they are trying to serve this movement of Srila Prabhupada. And I am so indebted to them, because of their contribution, I'm allowed to be here because of them being here. So yeah, we need to see everybody in that sense, and even people who are not devotees, we cannot be judging of them. We need to be like compassionate. And when we become compassionate, then it will kind of lead me to my other favorite activity of book distribution. Because when we are compassionate, we want to distribute that compassion, and then we give it to the others who are not yet practicing devotees. They are in their heart, they are latent, dormant. And then, so we take judging out of the picture, we have compassion, and we have empathy, and we have respect and love for the devotees. So, I don't think I finished, I didn't finish the purport yet. 3 times daily, yeah. Or did I finish the purport? I did, I'm sorry, I'm like really spaced out. So yeah, we were talking about, one thing which I was still kind of trying to share is, one of the niyam is sadhu sangha. Because when we associate with devotees, they're kind of like our, we need like checks and balances. When we're associating with devotees, the more we associate with devotees, more we see, even though sometimes we might be kind of little bit off the bandwagon, kind of falling off, but when we see devotees practicing, then we want to be, if we are inspired and we want to continue, and we want to become more and more serious, so strict, sincere and serious, we want to be that. Because when we are in asat sangha, like Mahaprabhu says, asat sangha tyaga, so we have to give up that non-devotee association as much as possible, because when we are with non-devotees, we unwittingly or not even consciously, we are kind of start falling on that line, we start going that way. And so it takes us away from our Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, because it seems like I'll just do a little bit, and the little bit can become a little bit more, and a little bit more. So, like I remember many, many years ago, my Guru Maharaj was talking about the fan, you know, you fan the flame. So he was saying, like, you've got a small ember, and you fan it, and it becomes bigger, and soon becomes like a big bonfire. So the bonfire can actually become, which could be away from Krishna. So we have to continue fanning that flame of Krishna consciousness, which has been fanned in our heart by our guru, by yamas and the niyamas which we are following, because that is actually which will ultimately lead us to get to Krishna prema. And so what was my next thing? Yeah, so the four prohibitions, little more about the niyam and the way we follow them. So this is from Nectar of Instruction in verse 2. The niyama agraha and niyam agraha. I know we have many, many, many learned Vaishnavas here. So would somebody like to speak about niyam, difference between niyam agraha and niyam agraha? We have the microphone. Anybody wants to say something about that? I know Pran Govinda Prabhu would be very good. Trivikram Prabhu. Oh, I thought you were going to say.
I think you've already pointed it out, like with judgmentalness, is that some people don't follow the rules, but then if you're following the rules but you forgot the reason why you're following the rules, then there's really not much difference in it. So I try to remember that verse 1-13, some siddhi haditoshanam, that we're here that to please Krishna, that devotional service is anukulena, and we're honing that skill of being thoughtfulness, being thoughtful of how to be, remain pleasing to Krishna. So if we do anything that's following all the rules, like we're always supposed to remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. But when Narada Muni was commenting on how wonderfully Kamsa remembered Krishna, he said that even though he was more intense in remembering Krishna, it wasn't favorably. So it's a very nice overlay to always consider is how is ultimately is going to be pleasing to my spiritual master and pleasing to Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. So I was like in the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says in the purport in verse 2 about Niyam Agraha is, I'm sorry, Niyam Agraha is accepting the rules and regulations, and Agraha means eager to accept, and Agraha means failure to accept. So there is, so when you add Agraha means very, very eager. So those who are, but then Prabhupada says those who are interested in Krishna consciousness should not be eager to accept rules and regulations just for economic advancement, but they should very faithfully accept the rules and regulations for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Because it's very, we can do it just for, like Prabhupada would use that word, show bottle spiritualism. Just for the show. Yeah, see, I'm a vegetarian, because it's like a fad now. You know, everybody wants to be vegan now. Not only vegetarian, we want to be vegan, and then we want to do some yoga in the park. And so we kind of become like in the in crowd, but that's not what our goal is. And actually people get they're very fascinated when we actually tell them that you just say you're not this body, and what's the goal of your life? And as I am getting a little bit more and more a little confident of going out and talking to people and distributing books, and I see how people are they are, because of that latent Krishna consciousness in each and everybody's heart, you just kind of scratch the surface and immediately it comes out. So I want to just share something which is very interesting. And when we were at the Daytona Beach Rath Yatra, and we were distributing books, and at one point in front of our book table there were many people, and a couple of devotees were distributing books. So I was further ahead in the front, and this one young man walked by, and he asked me, "Do you have a lighter?" And I'm like, "Why do you want a lighter?" So in his hand, like hidden, was a cigarette. And he said, "For this." And I was like so shocked that somebody would ask, because nobody has ever asked such a question for me. So I said, "Oh, wait a minute, I have higher taste for you." I just walked over and I grabbed the higher taste, because I just had the Gita in my hand. And I showed him the higher taste, and I just told him how it was. Actually, I ended up telling him about the four regulative principles. And I said, "We don't even have any intoxication, which is this, that, and the other." And he was, you know, as soon as I told him about the higher taste, he became, like his mood actually immediately changed, and he was very apologetic. And then he said, "Oh, I have been looking to meditate. And I've been looking for meditation for a long time." He was very young, maybe in his early 20s, mid-20s. And he actually became very inquisitive. And when I showed him the book, Higher Taste, and told him about the karma-free diet, how you can become karma-free, and he said, "Let me just tell you, I have no money." I said, "That's okay. Spiritual knowledge can be given. It's freely available." So then I showed him how to chant japa, because he was, somehow our talk went towards japa, and because the kirtan was going on the stage. So I said, "Hey, nothing, you don't have to buy anything. See the fingers? You can chant on the fingers." That's how I started out. 12 times 9 is 108. And he was like, so fascinated. As we were talking, he was just saying thank you so many hundred times. He was so pleased. And then I showed him, go to the prasadam, take some prasadam. So I asked him if he would read the book. And since I'd just come back from Vaisheshika Prabhu's seminar, so I said, since he gave me time, I said, "You will read the book?" He said, "I will." So I gave him the higher taste and I gave him the pamphlet, and he, it turned out he was from Seattle. So in the back of the pamphlet I'm chanting, you know, there's addresses of all of our temples, and immediately he spotted Seattle and he said, "Oh, I know where this is at." He said he'll go there, and actually ended up giving him the beads as well. And I felt very, in my heart I felt very satisfied that this was one jiva who was just minding his own business, walking, and then here we are, the kirtan is going on the stage, and he gets this book and he gets mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we never know. And also the, why I'm saying is because about taste, that we need to develop the taste, because without the taste we actually cannot go to a higher platform. So all these rules and regulations are meant for us to develop the taste. So I'll just quote Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 verse 59, in which the verse is that though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense objects remains. But by seizing such engagements, by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada says that when we restrict our sense enjoyment by putting rules and regulations, it's like, you know, a diseased person, you tell them they cannot eat because they will get sick again. And but their mood or their desire for eating certain eatables, like a jaundiced person cannot have any sugar, but their desire is still there. So when we have all these restrictions, yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, Prabhupada actually says that is for less intelligent person who have no better knowledge. In the sense that as we are coming into Krishna consciousness, we need to be very enthusiastically pursuing the rules and regulations. And then Prabhupada says, but one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord, in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, we no longer have a taste for the dead material things. It doesn't mean that we do not follow the rules and regulations, but we do not have the taste for the pale things, which he also says. We automatically lose taste for the pale things, like, you know, attachment to Krishna, detachment from Maya. So the detachment is happening, but we need to be very, very cautious, very, very careful and enthusiastic in continuing to follow the rules and regulations, because otherwise we will become like Sahajiya. Huh? We'll become Sahajiya, we will not be taking, we won't take things very seriously. So we need to develop the taste. And once we have that taste, like Prana Govinda Prabhu was saying, so these are things which are there, but ultimately what's the goal of our life? The goal of our life is to develop a love for Krishna. So that's those are the things which are taking us towards Krishna. So in the second part of this verse, we have Krishna is saying that one should approach a bona fide spiritual master who is full in knowledge of me as I am, who is peaceful, and who by spiritual elevation is not different from me. So when we see these qualifications, we immediately think of Srila Prabhupada, right? He was so full of knowledge of Krishna that every moment he was like, those who have associated with Srila Prabhupada, they say we never saw him doing anything else other than talking about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, writing about Krishna. So all his whole 24 hours of the day, constantly engaged in Krishna, and peaceful. And of course his spiritual elevation is totally not different from Krishna. And so I was just saying, thinking we'll just go to the very basics for those of us who are aspiring for a Krishna spiritual master, or those who are listening to the very famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, tadvidhi pranipatena, you all know, you can say this, pariprasnena sevaya upadeshyanti te jnanam jnanas tattva darshina. So just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. And it's very important to inquire submissively, because we know that there is, when we are in a what is the word? What is the opposite of submission? Challenging. When we are challenging, we are actually just trying to find faults in the philosophy. Yeah? When we are challenging, we just want to ask a question for the sake of asking a question. And when that mood is there, then the bhakti will not actually be able to enter our heart, because we are in a challenging mood. And actually, even as initiated disciples, Our mood needs to be that we want to be submissively continuing to inquire from our spiritual master, continuing to act in such a way that we are actually pleasing, as Prabhu was saying, pleasing our spiritual master, and continuing to make sure that we are actually advancing. And the way to advance, the way to know that we are advancing, is because we will feel the taste. The taste will be there. Nobody is going to be telling us we have to do this, do not eat meat, do not have illicit sex, because that taste will come, and as the taste comes, those things kind of become a part of our DNA, as we can say. They are just like side things. You don't even have to worry about now I have to follow the rules and regulations and now I have to chant my japa. No, they are both simultaneously happening. So, then we have this very famous verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Brahmanda Bhramite Kona Bhagyavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So in the course of traversing the creation of Brahma, one fortunate soul may receive the seed of Bhakti Lata, the creeper of devotional service. This is all by the grace of Guru and Krishna. So by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, few of us got direct mercy from Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada has given mercy to so many of our gurus currently in ISKCON. And because of that prasada, the Guru Krishna prasad which has been received, we are continuing to progress in our spiritual life. And actually I find myself so thankful every day to Srila Prabhupada that because of him we have this haven, this safe haven. And I try to thank Prabhupada every morning when I'm here. Thank you so much for providing this safe haven. Doesn't matter what's going on outside, this temple is here, and because of how much you have empowered so many of your disciples and grand disciples and now great grand disciples, that this haven is available for me to come and to actually just find shelter in such a place, and that I can actually invite other people to come to this place and take shelter of you. So we have to be very thankful and very, like I think yesterday Nagaraj Prabhu was saying that we actually forget when we are just here and we chant the mantras, we chant the prayers, but we need to be very thoughtful and reflective what we are saying, and that each word is of so much significance, and that when we do that on a daily basis, just like when we are chanting our japa, we are trying to be attentive when we are engaging in our activities of Shravanam Kirtanam, that we become very attentive to the meaning, to the purport, and how it affects my day-to-day life. So of course there is something called sincerity. It says, an opportunity, I'm still reading a part of the text 3 of Nectar of Instruction, when by good fortune one comes in contact with a pure devotee and hears from him patiently, one begins to follow the path of devotional service. Such an opportunity is offered to a person who is sincere under the direction of a spiritual master. And then you have to make everything favorable for Krishna's service. So like Kamsa, who was mentioning that Kamsa was also thinking of Krishna, but it was not favorable, it was unfavorable. And whatever we have, whatever resources we have, we dovetail in Krishna's service. Actually, I want to ask the devotees, I was recently, we were doing some book distribution, and I was in a parking lot, and I used this word dovetail to one of the persons I was distributing the books, and I said, so you know what dovetail means? And he was like, no. So I was wondering, what's the origin of dovetail? Is it something to do with the tail of the bird dove? Yes, Prabhuji.
It's carpentry tree. It's the corners together.
Can you repeat?
It's from carpentry.
Carpentry, oh.
Yeah, where two corners come together and they groove them in such a way it fits together.
Yeah.
And it slides down like that.
That's called a dove?
Dovetail.
Oh, that whole expression is dovetail.
Yeah, you can put it in the dictionary, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Maybe
Okay.
I looked it up in the dictionary.
Yes.
It says fit together tightly, as if by means of a dovetail. It's a noun. How do you say that word? Mortise. A mortise joint formed by interlocking tendons and mortise.
So it's something to do in a carpentry. Okay, dovetail.
Like the tail of a dove is pointed, so the two pieces of joint is pointed together on the top.
So whatever experience or whatever we have, we engage it in service of Krishna. So we actually, whatever our abilities and skills are, we actually connect them very nicely in Krishna's service. And I think I was reading somewhere recently, then he said something about, well, if you are a butcher, then you cannot dovetail that in Krishna's service, but you can kind of change your profession a little bit. But otherwise you can dovetail most everything in Krishna's service.
You have to slaughter your profession if you're a butcher.
Slaughter your profession, Hare Krishna. And further in this chapter, in this canto, in chapter 19, a couple places Krishna says that, in one place, one of the purports is mentioned that transcendental life begins when one accepts a spiritual master. So it's very important to accept a spiritual master. And then there is a term, real remuneration. Real remuneration, Krishna is actually mentioning it in a verse, and to the spiritual master, and it's described like a real remuneration, or as I say, repaying our debt to our spiritual master is by distributing the spiritual knowledge to others. So when we have received from Srila Prabhupada, from our Guru, that we distribute it to others, which is in the way of book distribution, and the way of spreading the holy name, prasadam, and assisting all of those activities which are happening, we are assisting. So when we are doing deity worship, we are addressing the deities in such a gorgeous manner, so people who are coming to the temples become more and more inspired, and then they make more and more advancement when they see the deity so beautifully dressed. And actually in my travels I've seen that, and some of the places the deities are, you know, they are taken care of very nicely, but this gorgeous arrangement which we have every day is like a festival for our eyes, is not there everywhere. So we have to I feel very fortunate to be in this association of this community where so many things are happening, and they're all happening so expertly. If you look at the deity worship happening so expertly, the management of the temple grounds, some people, devotees, we don't even see, and they are working behind the scenes, keeping this place mowed and taking care of all the weeds and the trees, the branches which are falling off, because there is somebody who is doing it. And it's all devotees who are doing it. So we are very, very thankful to all the devotees who are actually making this new Amandriti experience such a terrific experience for me and for all of us. So I would like to stop now and see if anybody else has any contribution, any reflections, any questions which I might try to answer. Because it's Vakreshwara Pandit's appearance day, and I thought I'll speak a little something afterwards. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
A quick comment and a question. When that person asked you for a light at the Rath Yatra, you gave them the light of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
So it's just the way it translates into the devotee language. You have a light? Oh yeah, here's, you want to see the light? And the other question is to accept the spiritual master. There's an official acceptance, and then there's like Prabhupada, when he said he first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said that I accepted him as my spiritual master. Not officially, but I accepted him. So a lot of times when someone just gets a book and they read something, they accept the spiritual master immediately, and then it takes time for it to become official.
Fructify, yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Very much, Prabhu.
I also have a couple of things to add to. When we used to live in Miami, one of my Sankirtan partners, Chanambuja Prabhu, besides Srila Prabhupada, we were going out on Sankirtan, so one
one day, in the middle of Miami heat, in the middle of August, he met one girl, and he invited her to come to the temple. So she said, she's going to come under one condition. He said, it's very hot, and do you have AC? So everyone knows Miami Temple. You know, this, they can't afford that. So he hesitated for a moment, and then he said, yes, we have AC. So she said, okay, she's going to come. So when she came in the temple room, the very first thing, you know, with the heat, and she said, you said you have AC. Where is AC? Where is the AC? He said, here, look here, AC back to the dentist now. she was already there, and he tricked her in, you know, in the bath, and they started talking about Krishna consciousness. I want to share one experience, one story. Also, we're talking about the facilities we have here with our deities. Once I went to one Ratha-yatra, and we were staying at some devotee's home, and there was another devotee came from another temple. So I saw, whilst we were there, because we were there for about 2 or 3 days, she started sewing some outfits for some deities. And when I looked at the material, I thought I recognized this material. So I asked her, did you buy this from Lowe's? She said, yes. And I said, isn't this a shower curtain? She said, yes. So then I started asking about, you know, the temple and what facilities they have. And she said, you know, things are so bad that that's the only thing that, that they can afford. Like, you know, some of the colored shower curtains. Like Clarty, and she was making outfits for the deities. Wow. And these are installed deities for many, many years. So, you know, when you're talking about facilities at what we have here, so then I said, you know what, I'm going to India in, you know, next month, so let's get some measurement and we're going to donate one outfit. So I asked him, how many outfits do you have for the deities? He said, maybe 3. And this was the 4th one they were making with, from a shower curtain. So then we decided, well, you know, we're going to sponsor one outfit. So then the host overheard our conversation. She said, okay, I'm going to sponsor one too. And then the host's sister, who was there in the kitchen cooking, she overheard, she said, I'm going to sponsor one as well. And then when she went back to New York, her friend, another devotee from Guyana, heard about this conversation. She said, she's going to sponsor one as well. So within 3 or 4 days, we had about 4 outfits sponsored for those deities. So, you know, here we can actually able to relish what we have. I just want to share that.
Thank you, Prabhu. Actually, I was just thinking of the third law of book distribution. The more you show, the more you sell. So it's also the more you ask, the more you get. Because if you don't ask, then you won't get. Like when we had our little Sankirtan seminar the other day, and I just asked Kripa Sindhu Prabhu, I was thinking maybe he can cook some prep, and he said, I'll make samosas. Like, really? He said, yeah, I'll make samosas, and it'll be my donation. So, you never know, without asking. So, very important to ask. Kramgavan, would you have something to say? No. Okay, Mother Mahatma.
Just one comment about the first part of your class, one of the principles, gambling. Gambling also includes speculation, and that's concerning the mind. Like, you know, so many times we assume, we think, we believe, so that is also prohibited in Krishna consciousness. We speak with facts, and you know, in that way we're safe and everybody's safe, and that, you know, that's also related with judging in a sense, you know. But in the second part, what you're talking about, Sankirtan, I also wanted to mention about the Ratha-yatras, how the Ratha-yatras in the whole world are attracting and making people to do service, to come and get closer somehow or other to learn about Krishna, God, and, you know, everything. I was in Mexico in Guadalajara, in the Ratha-yatra, Guadalajara, and a few instances happened, but one of the nicest ones was that this homeless was coming just when we were setting up, and he had his sleeping bag with him. So I said, Hare Krishna. And he looked at me like, oh, what is that?
I said, oh, we're chanting Hare Krishna here all day long, so you should stay, stick around. Oh, he says, what is this all about? I said, well, with the meditation, with the chanting, we remember the names of God. So I tried to explain as much. And he said, and I said, and the ultimate goal, you know, is to serve him. So he looked around and he said, where do I put my sleeping bag? I want to stay and do service today.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he found a little room for one of the vendors and he put his sleeping bag and he stayed. And the other time, another time is that there were five, maybe eight boys right behind the stage, and the kirtan was really loud. The kirtan was going on right there. But the boys were untouched or undisturbed. They were just going on with their talk. And I got closer and closer because I thought, what are these boys doing? They can't hear themselves. They are right behind the stage. So I got closer and closer to them, and they were sounding. They were deaf.
Mm.
And I said, oh, you don't hear, huh? And they said, we're okay. I said, no, you need to hear. Come. So I explained to them a little bit about the philosophy and service and everything. They got to see the deities because I brought them around the stage, but also they help, they also stay to the service. So Ratha Yatra is really, really nice event.
Yeah. Thank you, Dharam Raj Prabhu and Bhadra Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Anybody else with any contributions? So I will just talk about Bhakreshra Pandit's appearance day, just a little what I found online, and it's all from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Bhakreshra Pandit took birth in the village of Gupti Paraner Triveni. He appeared on the fifth day of the dark fortnight of the month of Ashar, June, July. He was present with Sriman Mahaprabhu during his pastimes in Navadvip, and after his acceptance of sannyas, he also accompanied Mahaprabhu to Jagannath Puri. During the time of the Lord's residence in Puri, he continued to live with him there as well. He was very expert in singing and dancing. Bhakreshwar Pandit always pleased Lord Chaitanya with his service in the Navadvip Sankirtan parties, which he joined from the beginning, the dramas at Shiva's Angam, and the yearly Rath Yatra at Jagannath Puri. While Bhakreshwar danced, Mahaprabhu himself would sing, and Bhakreshwar would catch hold of his lotus feet and say, O moon-faced one, give me 10,000 Gandharvas and let them sing while I dance, then I'll be happy. So one time Mahaprabhu answered, you are one of my wings. If I had another like you, I could fly in the sky. And he's very famous for dancing constantly for 72 hours in Shiva's Thakur's Angam. He established the deities of Shri Shri Radha Kanta in Kashi Mishra's house, which was next to Gambhira in Jagannath Puri. And he initiated Gopal Guru Goswami, who is one of his very famous disciples. And a grand disciple of Bhakreshwar Pandit has written in one of his books that Bhakreshwar Pandit is an incarnation of Tunga Vidya Sakhi, who is an expert singer and dancer serving as Radharani's Ashtasakhis. And Kavi Karnapur says that Bhakreshwar Pandit is an incarnation of Aniruddha of Chaturvyuha.